This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Record players, craft cocktails, and acid wash jeans. Everything old is new again. And while pop culture fads come and go, some vestiges of the past are meant to stay there.
There are a number of venereal diseases, but the most common are chancroid or soft chancre, gonorrhea or clap, and syphilis. Of the three most common diseases, however, by far the most dangerous is syphilis.
That's from a Navy training film on sexual hygiene that was produced in 1942. Up until recently, syphilis was on the brink of extinction in the U.S., but now public health officials are scrambling. Cases of syphilis in Indiana surged 70% last year. Lubbock County, Texas, was temporarily under a syphilis alert. Olga Hazan is a staff writer with The Atlantic, where she and Russell Berman wrote about how syphilis came roaring back. Olga, great to have you back on Word of Mouth.
Great to be here.
So as we heard, syphilis, a very dangerous STD. What are the symptoms and effects?
So in the early stages, you might just have a small little lesion that's barely noticeable. But then as it sort of progresses to its later stages, if it's not treated, you can get everything from a rash to sort of bone and skin issues and neurological symptoms as well. So it can start to affect your thinking and your behavior too. And that's in the very late stages of syphilis.
And your headline, it's come roaring back. How much? How concerned should we be?
Well, it's fairly concerning. So in 2000, there were only 6,000 cases of primary and secondary syphilis, and the CDC thought, great, we've pretty much got this eliminated. They in fact announced that they were going to start trying to eliminate syphilis altogether in the U.S. But in November, the CDC reported that there were 20,000 cases in 2014. So you went from 6,000 to 20,000 when really most diseases should be moving in the opposite direction. So it is fairly concerning, and you're also seeing syphilis of the eye in cases of congenital syphilis, which is where a baby is born with syphilis. Mm. So that's also very concerning. Public health workers are alarmed about this.
So why is it on the rise?
There's a couple of different theories. No one knows exactly why, but there's sort of three main theories about why this is happening. The first is sort of that in the late 80s and early 90s, we sort of figured out syphilis. So it's treatable, there's antibiotics that work for it, and people really started to focus on the HIV/AIDS epidemic. So as we focused resources on this, syphilis kind of didn't get as much attention. And now the AIDS crisis is sort of not as urgent as it was in the 80s. So it's possible that gay men are not being as careful about using condoms as they were back when this is a huge problem. And of course, HIV is not treatable, so they would definitely want to avoid getting that. So it's possible that they might be less likely to use condoms now, and that might be causing the rise. There's also been this rise in hookup apps like Grindr. And other sort of online dating apps that make it harder for people to know exactly the sexual history of who they're with. But then kind of the reason that we focus on and the reason that a lot of public health experts are focused on is that there's really been a huge drop off in funding for local public health efforts. And that's where a lot of this sort of STD prevention comes from, is sort of your local health department and their STD clinics that are connected to those health departments. Those have really been gutted funding-wise, and it's been a lot harder for them to control STDs as a result.
You mentioned gay men. Are they a population particularly at risk, and what are some of the others?
You definitely have gay men being the most at risk. That's sort of the community where you're seeing the biggest increases. For whatever reason, communities of color are also at risk, and also uninsured people or people who aren't connected to the healthcare system, because what you want to do with syphilis is catch it really early and start on antibiotics. And if you're not sort of being screened or seen by a doctor, you are less likely to have those early cases caught.
So these are publicly funded STD clinics, particularly cater to these populations. As to this cut in funding for STD prevention in general, where is that right now in the legislative process?
Right. So what actually with the National Coalition of STD Directors, this is the group that really is sort of lobbies for these STD prevention efforts. They want a $8.1 million increase in funding. They're funded through the CDC. And what they're looking at is a $5 million cut in funding. So they actually are saying that they need an increase, but they're facing a cut. But actually, it probably won't change at all. Their current funding levels will probably stay the same until 2017, because Congress is probably not going to do much until we have a new president.
So public health officials are right now consumed with the Zika virus. Where does syphilis fall into the list of concerns that they're dealing with now? And what's the strategy?
Well, right. So this is sort of one thing that, this public health experts are sort of trying to argue is that, we're rightfully concerned about Zika. We were rightfully concerned about Ebola. These are important things to pay attention to. But things like syphilis are kind of always there. They're always kind of simmering below the surface. And unfortunately, they just get backburnered every single year. They're kind of chronically underfunded, and our efforts to prevent them are sort of chronically falling short. And what happens is that you get these huge kind of resurgences of these diseases that are kind of neglected. So that's what they're sort of, what these public health experts are worried about. It's not that we're paying too much attention to Zika. It's that we need to not forget all these other STDs that are out there.
Is this the problem, Olga, do you think, that people no longer think that syphilis is a threat?
Some experts think that you do have a little bit of complacency because, you are seeing also increases in syphilis in some other developed countries, and they don't have our budgetary challenges. So the other explanations would probably be more applicable there. And it is possible that, people are just less afraid of things, of STDs now, because you don't have the same AIDS crisis that you did in the late 80s. So it's possible that people are less concerned with using condoms every time as they might have been, because syphilis, it can be treated, so people might not be as worried about it.
Olga, thank you for speaking with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Olga Hazan, she's a staff writer for The Atlantic. She and her colleague Russell Berman reported on the serious resurgence in syphilis cases for The Atlantic. There's a link to the article and more of her work at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.